The Hawk is on the air at 101.5 FM.
The Hawk. Welcome back, a true welcome back to the Johnny Athens Variety Hour. It is a pleasure to be back with you again here at the station and on the show. I hope you missed me, because I sure did miss you. You know, these past 2 weeks have been so long without you. And so much has happened in those 2 weeks. You know, October, I realized, is a month filled with the birthdays of jazz legends, and you know, we're gonna try and celebrate as many as we can today. Of course, there's just been a lot of stuff in the news. There was Thanksgiving, there was so much. I don't know if you heard about this, but William Shatner was oldly going where no other has gone before, and that is the 90-year-old William Shatner was launched into space by Jeff Bezos for 10 minutes, and then he came back down. Jeff Bezos is part of this his Blue Origin company for space tourism, enlisted William Shatner. Jeff Bezos is a big Star Trek fan. Apparently he brought up some like model toys he made with William Shatner into space, and he went up there, and to say the least, I mean, space tourism's a wild concept, and I'm not sure William Shatner's really selling folks on it, because he says, you know, you break through the atmosphere, you look into the blackness, and it's just death. And that, I'm not sure, is a tour I want to go on. But with that being said, he did seem to have some fun. And a 90-year-old in space, this is the oldest person ever to have been in space, supposedly. And there you go. Who better than, I guess, James Tiberius Kirk for all you Trek fans out there? And it's even more fitting, because now William Shatner is the very man he sang about. He is Rocket Man. I don't know if you've ever seen William Shatner sing Rocket Man from the Science Fiction Film and TV Awards back in 1978, but I shared that on my social media. Go check it out on the Johnny Athens Entertainment page on Facebook. It's something you need to see. And we have the article down there from AP News about William Shatner in space. But right here in Canada, there's another kind of transportation going on that is rather wild. And that is these two folks out in Newfoundland. In Newfoundland, they seem to really just always be doing their own thing. I notice anytime there's something a bit obscure, a bit unconventional perhaps, it seems to come from Newfoundland. And I love them for that. I love that province. And these folks heard that one of their favorite childhood homes was going to be demolished. So what did they do? This lady and her boyfriend got together, bought the house, and moved it. And now we've seen houses perhaps on the highway, on the streets, but in Newfoundland they found it very difficult to transport it by road due to power lines, due to all the obstacles and the road itself, moving the house. So what did they do? They put the house, in a way that only Newfoundlanders can, they put the house on the water. They stacked it up on this, like, cargo thing, and they just pushed it along. And apparently at one point, the house nearly collapsed. It nearly started to sink like the Titanic. But these barrels, these floating barrels, saved the boat. Some other fisher trawlers and other local boaters came by and helped push this little greenhouse, this two-story bungalow, to another island at Newfoundland. And now they're preparing to move in. They say the house had great buoyancy. And, I mean, if you look at the pictures, it's kind of like half in the water, but apparently nothing got wet. And they're just doing some renovations and going to move in, well, probably about now, because they said about a couple weeks to a month. So that's about now. So there you go. All the exciting stuff, of course, happens when we're away. But now we're back, and there's so much more exciting stuff that we have coming up. Such as Bill Evans with If I Were a Bell here on 101.5 The Hawk. Thank you. Hawk. Welcome back to the Johnny Athens Variety Hour. And that was Art Blakey with the Jazz Messengers playing in the wee small hours of the morning. He is one of the great jazz legends who celebrated his birthday this past month. October 11th was Art Blakey's birthday. And, I mean, he is really a legend. The Jazz Messengers are a thing that are still around, and it was so important at the time. He helped bring in these new musicians and get them into the spotlight, get them a little more professional experience. It was kind of like a co-op for up-and-coming jazz artists, the Jazz Messengers. And so many of the Jazz Messengers, if not all of them, went off to have great careers. Some of them now are artists in their own right that we listen to, that have become standard jazz musicians. And I think the idea behind the Jazz Messengers, the man behind it, Art Blakey himself, is so talented and was such a unique, critical, and important idea. I think it really helped carry out the jazz phenomena, the jazz genre, the jazz idea through a couple extra decades where it might not have been able to make it. Now, second, we have another artist that celebrated his birthday this month on October 11th, so just a day before Art Blakey. That was Thelonious Monk, who we have up next for you here. We'll be playing a song from his album Solo Monk, which released in 1965 on the Columbia label, and as you can imagine, features nobody but Thelonious Monk, and I think it's a testament to his skill and to his legendary status. 12 tracks, 21 on the CD bonus, is with a couple different takes of the same songs. You really see his skill shine. You see why he is such a legendary player and composer. You see why he is the second most recorded jazz composer after Duke Ellington. Besides the character, he was a very unique individual. He had a technique and playing style that was unrivaled. You know, the improvisations of dissonance and using angular melodic twists. His unorthodox approach to the piano was something of its own. And we see that in this album. And we also hear it from his son, Thelonious Sphere Monk III, T.S. Monk, as he is known in his artistry profession, in this clip where he talks about his father's legacy, how his father worked, and the kind of music his father produced, how he really was in a league of his own. T.S. Monk is a musician and educator in his own right, and he just talks about the impact of his father's earliest recordings on the jazz scene on 101.5 The Hawk.
My father, Thelonious Monk, is unquestionably the father of modern jazz. Bebop was a very, very short period. If you stretch it, maybe you could say a decade, but not very much longer, because bebop was a bridge between swing and modern jazz. By the time bebop was forming, something else was on Thelonious's mind, because that's when he really started composing. There was this emphasis with Monk on time and space in a very, very different way from everyone else around him. Even with his earliest recordings and his earliest compositions, they challenged musicians in a very, very new way, because even during that period of bebop, Thelonious was writing tunes like Round Midnight, like Evidence, that were not based on traditional harmonic progressions, okay? And that really, really changed the ball game. I think that's what really caught the ear of Alfred Lyons and the people at Blue Note. Because when they decided to record Thelonious, they knew that there was something going on here that was very, very special with this guy. And those folks at Blue Note detected that. I don't know how they did it. To be a great record person, you have to have vision. And Alfred and those people had the vision to see that this guy was extra, extra special. And so they took a chance. Those first recordings, today you'd call them underground, because the most popular people on the scene still at that time were Ella, Louis Armstrong, people like that. So Monk was underground. Monk was kind of a secret. Monk was over there. Monk was different. But he represented the cutting edge of where the music might be going. 10 years after the original sessions, they were re-released in vinyl LPs. The ideas on these records, those concepts are now everyday concepts in popular music. Things like consecutive seconds and parallel fourths and all these things, those ideas were pioneered by this guy in 1947 on record. By 56, now cats all over the music were playing Monk's tunes. You see, so the music had actually gotten into the soul and into the bones of the musicians and the younger generation, i.e. Miles Davis, i.e. Bud Powell, i.e. John Coltrane and those cats. I consider him the quintessential prototype for what every jazz musician wants to be, because every jazz musician wants to play in a unique fashion and write the most popular songs in a fashion that moves the entire genre forward. And Thelonious accomplished that. Thank you.
The Hawk, welcome back to the Johnny Athens Variety Hour. That was Everything Happens to Me by Thelonious Monk, followed by I'll Close My Eyes by Scott Hamilton. And as we come back to the show, this is the return episode. We're celebrating so many things. That was Thelonious Monk's birthday, and we heard from his son talking about his music from the wonderful solo Monk, you know, the works of Thelonious himself. But as we come back, we also have to have our other staples of the program, such as comedy. And this week we have a very young, talented comedian, Jay Bliss, performing here as part of Dry Bar Comedy. He also has a podcast called Bliss is Ignorant Podcast. It's on iTunes and Spotify. Be sure to check it out. Some funny stuff and interesting stuff, you know, like most podcasts are talking about all kinds of great things. And who better to talk about the world than some of the comedians we have around us? So in this segment, he's talking about how having a kid smarter than you can kind of make you feel a bit stupid on 101.5 The Hawk.
One of my daughters is extremely smart. I'm not saying my other daughter's dumb. I'm saying one is extremely smart, okay? Now, figure this out. Now, I'll give you an example. Like, one of my daughters is right reading level, right math level. Everything is right where it's supposed to be. But my other daughter is on some astronaut stuff, and I just figured it out when they were about 3 years old. We're in a restaurant. Both of my daughters said at the same time, "Daddy, we have to go to the bathroom." And I was like, this is horrible, because don't no dad want to have to take his daughters into no men's bathroom. So I'm like, look, don't nobody look at nothing. Don't nobody touch nothing. Matter of fact, don't even touch each other, because I don't know how this works, okay? So we get in the bathroom, and they use the bathroom. We walk out to the sink. They're washing their hands. And all of a sudden, my daughter, who's 3 years old, was trying to read the sign on the wall. And I was like, wow, she's trying to read the sign at the sink? She only 3 years old? I'm impressed. A couple minutes later, my daughter was like, "Daddy, why do employees have to wash their hands before returning to work?" I was like, what? I said, you just read that? She said, yes, sir. And I started tripping, because I'm like, maybe I can read at three. I just only remember having to read in kindergarten. You understand what I'm saying? But nobody remembers being three. You know what I mean? But I got another three-year-old right beside her, another crash dummy right there. I'm like, hey, can you read that sign? She said, yes, sir. I said, what does it say? She said, brown. I said, not the color. What's the word say? She said, white. I said, you can't read that? She's like, I'm three. I said, that's what I thought. Don't touch her. She a mutant. That's exactly what I thought. Ever since that moment, man, my daughter has found a way to make me feel dumb every single year without even trying, right? Last year, my daughter's wanted wristwatches for Christmas, right? So I was like, I got an idea. I'll pick them up one weekend. We'll go to the mall, go through the store, look at some watches. Then I know what to get, what not to get for Christmas, right? We get to the third store. My daughter goes, oh. I said, what's the problem? She's like, where are the analog watches? I said, who makes that? She said, analog. I said, what is that, Timex, Rolex, Hublot? Who makes that? She said, analog, daddy. I was like, what are you talking about? She said, these are digital. I was like, and? She's like, the other watch, long hand, short hand. I said, who told you that? She's like, that's what we learned in school. I said, that's wrong. She said, what's it called? I said, it's called a regular watch. She's like, it's not. I said, it is. I called my ex-wife on the phone. I said, hey, the watch with just the numbers on it, what's that called? She said, digital. I said, the one with the long hand and short hand? I said, what's that called? She's like, a regular watch. I said, that's what I thought. I just wanted to make sure two dumb parents can make a smart kid is what I was trying to figure out. Now, with twins, everything is a competition. You know, everything's competitive. And my other daughter's tired of hearing how smart her sister is. She wanted to get some praise. So one day my daughter comes in and goes, daddy, guess what the teacher said? I said, what did the teacher say? She said, the teacher said I had the neatest handwriting in the whole grade. I said, the whole grade? She said, the whole grade. I said, write something for me. She wrote something. I made a big deal about it. I said, wow, that's beautiful. I never seen somebody your age write that neat before. That's absolutely amazing. Her sister goes, puh. I said, what's the problem? She's like, her tittles aren't even in the right position. I said, her what? She said, her tittles. I was like, what's that? She said, that's the dot over top of the lowercase I. I said, oh, you just making stuff up now. She's like, look it up. I go on my phone, I'm looking it up. But as I'm looking it up, I'm telling her, hey, here's a situation. You could have happily been happy for your sister and just gave her some praise instead of trying to be a jerk and trying to make her feel bad about herself. I was like, and I'm looking this information up and I'm reading the definition and you owe her an apology because that's not what it means. She said, you spelled it incorrectly. I said, you better get out my face for it. Well, I'll put a tittle over your eyes. You know?
Thank you.
1.5 The Hawk, that was Cannonball Adderley with Sewing Machine from his album Fiddler on the Roof, his takes on the songs from the film Fiddler on the Roof. Well, from the stage, technically. And prior to that, we had Carl Fontana with It Might As Well Be Spring. Now, that is about it for this hour. It has come and gone very fast, and it's a pleasure to be back. It's a pleasure to be with you once again on these Wednesday evenings and listening to some great music, comedy, and interviews as we do here on the Johnny Athens Variety Hour. Now, if you want to stay in touch with us, be sure to check out Facebook, Johnny Athens Entertainment on Facebook, and on Instagram, it's johnny.athens. You can follow along, see what's going on in the world, check out some of the jazz things that happen in my life and whatever else goes on. As well, if you're feeling deprived of jazz on the radio, you can also check in the show Jazz in Session. That is every Wednesday here on The Hawk with Kareem Mazna, and that's from 3 to 4 every Wednesday, Jazz in Session. And he talks about themes and interviews and more, kind of a little bit like we do, but different. It's with his perspective, it's great. He's a great guy, very well spoken, and always entertaining, and a great listen. But yes, that is all for our show. I will leave you with another jazz musician who celebrates his birthday in October. October 21st is the birthday of Dizzy Gillespie, so we'll have him close out the show for you, as well as Dinah Washington with The Birth of the Blues. Thank you so much for tuning in once again to 101.5 The Hawk, Johnny Athens Variety Hour. Take care, and good night.
They heard a breeze in the trees, singing weird melodies, so they called it the start of the blues. Then from the jail came a wail of a down hearted frail. So they took it and they shook it and they made it a part of the blues. Oh, from a whippoorwill high on a hill, they took a new note. They nursed it and they rehearsed it, then gave out with the news.